Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you would like to write to us, you can send your inquiries and correspondence through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and Watchman hashtag Warn Radio. You can also use hashtag Warn Radio on Instagram. On LinkedIn, you can find us by using hashtag Watchman. Join us on USA.life and MeWe by using hashtag Warn Radio. And you can join us on Parler by @WatchmanDGS and on Clout Club by @WarnRadio. You can listen to our shows through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And this week, from the evening of October 2nd to the evening of October 10th, through the 10th of October, we are in the Feast of Tabernacles. Just to let you know about that. And please take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman. They are prophetic and they are apply to this day and age we live in. The latest one out on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com is Last Days Perilous, Purposeful, and Prophetic. Last Days Perilous is the issue with living in this prophetic time period, which is just that, living. But then there is America. Today, the divide has not been greater. So you can go to Dana Glenn Smith and warn-usa.com to read those article or read that article. Also on Dana Glenn Smith, In Christ Jesus, Nonconformity to the World. The fact that the Lord wanted his children to be separate from the world dates back to the very beginning. And on warn-usa.com, you can read the following two articles. Children of God Fulfilled Promise. Through the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the promise flowed to redeem mankind from the curse of death. And Battleground America Agenda Expunged. This is the second book in the Steel series called The Rising, and it will be out soon. It's the second book Dana has written. The battleground has been here before. This time, the American agenda will be expunged. This is the goal. The vow to destroy the foundations of America has been carried out in the secret agenda that was given to the colonel. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, you know, I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Here it is, Thursday, the 8th day of October. That's hard to believe.
Yep.
It's rolling right by.
You know, it does. We talk about it all the time, and it doesn't seem to slow down any.
I know. It's so bizarre how fast it goes.
Well, you know, and we're not that far. You know, we're less than a month away from the election.
Oh, I'll be glad to get that over.
You know, there's so much vile, nasty stuff going on.
It's sad, really.
It is. It's just one of those things, you know, that why do we have to be that way, you know?
I don't know.
You know,
I would like it not to be like that, that's for sure.
Yep, me too. But that's the way it is, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just one of those things. And, you know, we've talked about everything the Democrats are trying to do. And I watch Pence's, you know, online. They have a lot of stuff, clips from Pence's thing. But we didn't watch it. We watched Trump's, and I wasn't going to watch that one. Because I've watched debates before in this thing, and they're no fun. I don't care for them at all.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden, you know, he didn't say anything. He didn't answer one question when he did it. They said, you know, of course, the backers, all the fake news, and, you know, a lot of the liberals all like Joe Biden, but Joe Biden didn't answer anything. And like you said tonight, I seen that headline earlier, where he said, you're going to know what I think on this issue.
Packing the court.
Yeah, after I...
The day after election.
Yeah, the day after election. You don't want to know the day after election what some idiot's going to be doing.
Well, that's for sure.
And Kamala Harris, all she did was smirk all the time with her smirky, smart, look on her face. And
I don't think she ever said anything either.
No,
that I heard.
She didn't really answer anything. She told Pence one time that she was speaking, and he said, "Well, why don't you speak the truth then?" So Pence really got in a good performance, but I'm not going to watch anymore. Trump is going to be on with Rush Limbaugh instead of the debate, because he doesn't like the virtual debate format. I told you as soon as I heard what it was that he needed not to do it, and I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah,
because
I don't think that would be good.
No, because this would be a humility in a lesson in foolishness and stupidity.
Well, they'd cut him off.
Well, see, the thing of it is, this dingbat that they got moderating it worked for Biden, and Biden is one of the ones he's going to be at the debate. I mean, this is nobody in a decent debate class would do anything like that.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't
because
agree
this,
with that.
This guy is, you know, I mean, it's
he's
just
gonna
totally.
He's going to be for Biden. He's not going to be fair to President Trump.
Well,
so.
neither was Wallace,
no,
for that matter. And that's what happens when you get the fake news that hates Trump, that has a hard time even reporting anything good. 90-some% of what they report on Trump is negative. You do not want to get in any format where they are putting the show. Now, you see, if you could get someone totally independent that has no opinion on it that you can trust, then that would be one thing. But
that would be hard to find.
But Rush Limbaugh is going to do it, and he's also going to be on Hannity. And between those two, you're going to see a lot more viewers. He's going to reach a lot more people than being on that half-wit debate format. And Biden will probably be there, and they'll ask him all the questions that they want.
The wimp questions that won't make him really say what he's going to do or believe.
Well, this is the most pathetic election that I've ever seen. And this crop of Democrats, and you can go from Obama forward, this is the most corrupt bunch of Democrats I have ever seen in my life.
Oh,
and
I know.
And I'm not a Republican, but I've never, you know, it's just the way it is. So, at any rate, I'm moving on.
Okay, so tonight on Battle Lines is Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 66, the Lion of God. Lion of God, the city of God where David dwelt, the place where Jehovah would reside. And now, back to you. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Yes, we're in part 66, and we're definitely going to be talking about the Lion of God. And of course, when you talk about the Lion of God in the confines of what Isaiah is talking about, we are dealing with Jerusalem or Judah more importantly. And so at any rate, in Isaiah 28:21, it says, "For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, and he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, let your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth." In Isaiah 29:1-3. It says, "Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, and let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow. And it shall be unto me as Ariel, and I will camp against thee round about, and I'll lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee." Now that does sound very, very intimidating. In Isaiah 29:1, "Woe to Ariel." Ariel means the Lion of God. "To Ariel, the city where David dwelt, add year to year and let them kill sacrifices." And, you know, this is, you know, why he used Ariel. You know, it's, you know, when you were serving God, the first time, you know, when Israel went to the to Sinai and they got the law, and you know, Moses made a point before he died to go over everything with them, and that's what Deuteronomy is. And there's a whole thing when you get in chapter 30 of blessings and cursings. Israel was to be the Lion. And Christ, who came as the Son of God, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, because he is the Messiah. He's going to conquer. And he did conquer. They didn't expect him to come as a suffering servant, but he did. Now, the next time he comes, he is going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the greater son of David, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the Almighty, and he that was dead and is alive forevermore and has the keys of death and hell. He's the one that's going to judge all. He says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." That's, you can read in the beginning of Revelation where he says, "I am the Almighty," and you can read in Revelation 22, the end of it, where he says, "He that is righteous, let him be righteous still." And he goes on to say, "He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. For I come quickly, my reward is with me." That's the judgment. And, you know, we look at this, you know, God intended all along for Israel to be that Lion, to be that one that would triumph over their enemies, that would be blessed in the world, that would be blessed, you know, in everything that they do. And you can see under David, for instance, David had a lot of enemies and he fought a lot, but David had conquered the enemies of Judah. And so it was that his son became, you know, the one to bring in and build the temple. Solomon was known for his wisdom and everything he'd done. Solomon's also known for his heart falling away from the Lord. Due to all the women that he married, most of those were marriages to form bonds with other nations, which is typical. And so, right after that, Israel, according to the Lord, was divided into two. Judah, the southern kingdom, was reserved for David's sake, and the northern tribes, which we call the lost tribes of Israel, comprised of 10 tribes, was the northern tribes. And both of the houses were eventually overrun, and Judah went into captivity for 70 years. Now, the story we're talking about now has to do with Sennacherib, who comes and does besiege Jerusalem. He's going to encamp round about it. Now, see, remember, Jerusalem is the place where that's the city of God. That's the place where Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, Sabaoth, that is where the God of all gods is supposed to have his people, his temple, and his prophets. They fell away, and grievously, and they were passing their children through to fire, and it's likened to modern-day abortion, killing babies. And we know that abortion is used in that way because recently a satanic group came out and is trying to get it okayed because they use aborted babies in their sacrifices to Satan, and this is their words. They were advertising that. This is how far we've fallen in America. And so, you see, Israel was known. They were supposed to be that lion of God. Now, Isaiah is using it, but this Jerusalem, this Judah, along with the chief priests and all the other priests and the prophets, all of them, along with the political establishment, were not lions of God. They had fallen away from God. And this is like a fire that God is sending into the midst of them. And it's judgment, and it's a warning to them. And so the lion of God is used as this phrase, as you're not really a lion of God. You should have been a lion of God, and you're going to be in the fire now because you have forsaken the Lord God, and he's going to come after you, and he's going to distress you. Now, that is the same thing as when we get into the New Testament and we get into the Laodicean church, and the Laodicean church says, I'm rich and in need of nothing, and the Lord says, you are wretched, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy me of gold tried in fire. That's persecution. And that's exactly what God will do. America used to be a Christian nation, and it was righteous. And there was a lot of things. Now, see, I talked to a dude, you know, not too long ago. He says, when was America righteous? Or when was America great? I said, well, I'll tell you what. We report on nations every week and how they persecute people groups and Christians. And I said, if you don't think America's great, you haul your butt over there to some of these other nations and live and see how long you're going to live. Because people are getting killed right and left. China over there is oppressing the Uyghurs, 1 million of them. China is oppressing the Christians, torn down their churches. So anytime you're stupid enough to sit in a free country like this, have a nice big house, a brand new car, have a job, retirement, and you have medical, and you have everything we have, and you're stupid enough to say this ain't a great country, then you need to have your ears cleaned out and wax poured in them so you can really be deaf. Because I'm telling you, you're dumb. See, and this is what happens when you have a people that fall in sin. And all you that are looking, you know, no, America isn't great anymore because we have a sin problem. We have a pride problem. Now, see, Jerusalem was meant to be the lion of God. They were to be blessed. They were to be blessed in everything. And God was going to defend them. And they would go in. And when you look at Joshua, when you look at Caleb, Joshua led them, and Caleb was there too. They were old men by this time. They went into the promised land. They conquered the giants, the descendants of the Nephilim. Many of them, even today in history, we find bones. Really, this is the truth. Bones of giants in the ground. Many of them think that they came over here and they came from the region where the children of Israel went into. They ran them out of that. Now you think of that. You think of how tough you would have to be to take on a giant. Remember, the first crop said we are grasshoppers in their sight. But you look at Joshua, you look at Caleb, they are the same ones that said we can take them. And God preserved them. They're the only two that were left except for the generation, the offsprings of those who had sinned grievously. When God wants to, he will raise up a generation that's a lion. And I'm telling you, that's what we need in America. We need some lions of God that are sold out to the Lord God and sold out to his son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need to take on the abortion issue. We need to take on the wickedness in this country. We need to have the churches stand up. We need to repent, and we need to stop this, because if you don't, wickedness is going to rule, and God will have them in derision, Psalm 2. And that's exactly what's going on right now among the Democrats and other politicians and the governors and the mayors in this country. They're in derision because of what's going on. And I'm telling you, that is a judgment, and there's other judgments coming. And God is saying to Israel in Isaiah 29, you were a lion of God. That's what I intended to you, but you're going to be a lion in the fire. You're going to be Ariel in the fire. You're supposed to be Jerusalem. You're supposed to be my beloved. My priests are supposed to be on my side. My prophets are supposed to be speaking my word. My people are supposed to be separated unto me, but they have fallen from me. Let them go ahead and kill the sacrifices, because I'm not going to accept their sacrifices. They can rejoice in having Shabbat. They can rejoice in their feast, but I will not honor them. I will not listen to them, because I'm going to distress you. Isaiah 29:2. I will compress, I will oppress, I will distress Ariel, and there will be heaviness instead of joy. The lion of God is going to cry in sorrow, and they're going to think that they're going to die. And I will camp round about them, and they're going to think the end is coming. I will lay siege to those who I love, the lion of God, because it has forsaken me. And hostile enemy I shall be, adversarial assault I will put you round about with my armies, and I will raise up forts against you, and you will be besieged, and you will know that I am the Lord thy God. Now see, if you take it in the context the way Isaiah's reading it, it should have scared the yell out of them. And verse 4 he says, and thou shalt be brought down. Now, America, you're going to be brought down in all the nations, not just America, that rise against the Lord God. That's why we call it the Great Tribulation. And I'm telling you right here now today in America, you have got the judgment going on. And I can tell you that because I know that. This isn't the Great Tribulation, but this is God telling America, you need to wake up. Because I will distress you, and he is distressing us. He's waking up this country, and the people, they can't go on their own like they think they can. God is going to have the last word. And I can tell you, everybody, that you better seek the Lord God. Because this stuff in the prophets, especially Isaiah, it's written there for a reason. This ain't for the Jews to read. This is for the Gentiles who got brought into the covenant through Yeshua, Jesus Christ. This is for those of us who think that God says we can do anything we want. Well, you can't. Verse 4, and thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust. You know, you can't talk when you're thrown to the ground. You can't talk when you're crying and weeping and throwing dust over your head and trying to seek the Lord and find out what happens, because the prophets that you were listening to, you told you that everything goes well. The high priest that was dealing with you and working with you is the same priest, same way with the prophets who were serving some of these other gods as well. We had one foot in hell and one foot in heaven. We were trying to reunite the two. It doesn't work like that. When God has people that follow him, they need to be for him 100%. And you listen to me out there, you'd better pay attention to this, because God does pay no attention to whether you're a Catholic, whether you're a Gentile, whether you're a Jew. He doesn't pay any attention whether you are whatever you think you are, Assembly of God, Baptist, Mormon, whatever you think you are. You think that church and the man-made names are going to get you anywhere? God looks through that. And I'm telling you one thing, there's only one set of prophets that God really spoke to, and that was the Jewish prophets. Now today we got all kinds of prophets. We got all kinds of apostles. We got all kinds of churches. We got all kinds of people in the pulpit, in the Bema Seat. And the Bema Seat is unclean in many of these churches. The Bema Seat is defiled in many of these places. And the Bema Seat, where God's word is to go through, has not been preached as it should, because it would have been salt, and it would have been light, and it would have got the sin out, dividing asunder. Remember, that's the sword. That's the word of God. It decides, divides this, the bones and marrow and joints. It gets in there. It can divide your intents and desires of your heart. It can root out the sin. Now you see, Israel was in the covenant of Sinai. We're in the blood of the covenant through Christ. And you can come to the Lord and repent now. You can think that, well, I'm a Christian, I can do anything I want to, go out and commit adultery and ask God to forgive me later. Well, you watch. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a person sows, that's what he's going to reap. You can bank on that. If you're going to sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you want life, you better get in the Word and you better seek Him. Because when you look at what Christ teaches in John 10 all the way to John 17, you're going to find out that He expects you to abide in Him. And see, God expected the children of Israel to be found in them and not to erect some other gods. And so, you know, people don't listen unless God sends things like this. And of course, they would have been in the ground. They would have thrown dust over their head. When they seen all those things, they would have been worried. So the proud city of David, David the conqueror, David the warrior king, David the one who God said, he's a man after my own heart. That proud city was going to be surrounded. And it's going to be surrounded just the way David and his army surrounded when he took it. When David took Jerusalem, you know, what became Jerusalem and the capital, his army surrounded it and then took it. And see, this is exactly what God was going to do again. And these are lessons to the children of Israel to let them know. You better think twice about what you're doing. Now, you see, there's one thing that they have going for them, Hezekiah. And, you know, they had a good prophet there as well. And so it does end up to where they end up being delivered. But this is meant to send a message. Because the next message that Israel's going to get, it comes later, comes at the hands of Jeremiah, warning Judah that Babylon is going to assault them, going to destroy, going to tear down the walls, going to destroy the temple, going to loot it, and all your prophets, your priests, your political establishment, your king are going to be removed if you don't repent. Now see, later on in Isaiah, we'll get into some of that. But you see, the children of Israel don't want to listen. I'm here to tell you, folks, you better be concerned about this country. Because you got people up in Congress that frankly don't even know what they're doing. And many of these people are possessed of the Spirit when God says in Psalm 2. Now you read Psalm 2, and in there it talks about derision. One of my latest articles I did is over on our websites, and in it I talk about that word derision, and that describes what a lot of these people are in the political realm. And I can give you names, and I can tell you where they're at. But the bottom line of it is, you know, Russia didn't have a covenant. China never had a covenant. But our forefathers that came to this shore made a covenant with the Lord God as soon as they got on the shores and got here safely. That is history. And God honored that. So God is saying to Jerusalem, you're going to be brought low to the dust. You're going to be humiliated. Your pride is going to be removed. And you're going to think you're going to die. And of course, if it wasn't for his love, his mercy, he would have. Do you think God is just a vengeful God? If God was a truly vengeful God, one that didn't love us, he would have destroyed us a long time ago. But you see, he didn't do that. He lets you walk on your way, live your life out, even the ones that don't serve him, even the ones that blaspheme him, and give them a life where they can live it on the earth and live it however they want to live it. But see, there comes a time when God intervenes into the affairs of men. And especially if those affairs concern those that he used to know, that used to come to him. In verse 5 he says, "Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passes away. Yet it shall be at an instant suddenly." Now you see, this threat is going to come. And they're going to mock Jerusalem, which they did. They're going to mock the king. They're going to mock the God of Israel. They're going to mock Jerusalem. They're going to mock the people for trusting in Jehovah. And they're going to have their armies. They're going to look like Jerusalem is going to be totally destroyed. And it's going to look like there is no hope. No hope. Now see, here's a note here. When it looks like there's no hope, that's when God begins. See, because there's something that happens. While the army is surrounding and while they're all threatening Israel. Verse 6 says, "Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with earthquake, with a great noise, and a storm and a tempest, and the flame of devouring fire." Now all of these symbols, these words, are meant to illustrate the presence and the power of God on the earth. And it is something that comes in an instant. It comes with overwhelming force. It happens, and there's no escape whatsoever. And the people it happens to don't even have time to think. Now you think about that the next time you try to blaspheme God. You think about the next time you think that you have all the rest of your life to live, and you've been living it against God, and you've been blaspheming him and his son. Your end could come in a second. The same breath you use to mock God is the same breath God will take from you. You who thought that you could do anything will find out you can't. See, that's the thing. There is a God in heaven. And pride, I've got another article that talks about Sodom. Your sister Sodom. And when I talk about your sister Sodom, there's one thing people think about: sodomy, homosexuality. Well, I got news for you. The prophet that writes about that doesn't even mention that. He tells you what the real sin was. There's three of them. Why Sodom was destroyed. It's the same sins that's going on in America today and in many nations today. But you see, God looked at Israel and he had a covenant with them. And for David's sake, he had spared Judah before. He did this when Solomon had sinned. So for David's sake, he was going to separate Israel into two houses. And David's portion is Jerusalem, the place that he set up. Now the very place of David is threatened, and the people have turned away from God. David would have been horrified if he would have known what was happening to his people. But you see, so God sends this their way. Now, the outlying nations that Assyria runs into have a problem. Assyria can do what they wanted with them. But now they've come to Jerusalem. And they've never before been able to really get in there and get this close and look like they were going to destroy Jerusalem. And, you know, their desire was to destroy the city. Because, you see, it just wasn't about force. Because the king, Sennacherib, had sent his people to talk to those on the wall to tell them, no god of any country had ever delivered them out of the hands of the Assyrians. But you see, on this night, Assyria, who knew that they were going to have Jerusalem, was visited. Verse 6, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. All of that, the sudden and awesome judgment of God would come. So we find in verse 36, the angel of the Lord went forth and smote his camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. When they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Now, when you look out, and you see 185,000. 4 score is 20, that's 80. 185,000 soldiers. And you see them, and you know Jerusalem has had it. There is no hope because we've sinned against the Lord. Our prophets were wrong. Our high priest didn't warn us. We sought other gods and we were wrong, but it's too late now. There is no hope. Now see, that's why Isaiah is warning them. So maybe they will wake up. This is a wake-up call. Now you see, this portion we're finding in Isaiah 29. Now the answer to this particular thing here, now this is as Isaiah is writing this, so this is telling what's coming. And the result of that is in Isaiah 37:36, which is further on down the road, which we haven't covered. And that's where it tells you that the angel of the Lord came. Well, later on, and you can find this in other parts of the Bible as well, Sennacherib was murdered by his own sons in the house of his God. And, of course, that's the judgment on Sennacherib, because Sennacherib thought his God would always deliver him, but he couldn't deliver Sennacherib from the Lord God. Judgment reached him there. And so, in Isaiah 29:7, the suddenness of this judgment, and that is the Assyrians coming and surrounding Israel, caused terror, and it looked like Israel was totally finished. Now, there are parts when you read about Hezekiah and how he had spread the letter that he was given before the Lord, and he prays to the Lord for deliverance. The prophet comes and tells him that you're going to be delivered. So Hezekiah knows this, and that's one of the reasons, thank God, they had Hezekiah. If they would have had, you know, Jezebel, I mean, they would all been killed. Jezebel, you know, she's like a woman who married the devil. She led all of Israel in a path that's wrong, and... You know, Elijah is the one that had to deal with all them. I mean, this isn't fun stuff. And so the enemy comes and surrounds them, and, you know, you, in your heart, you feel the terror. You're going to die. Because you know that the Assyrians lead people captive. They strip them naked, and they put rings in their noses. And they will humiliate them when they take them back. And they will do that to the men. They'll kill a lot of the fighters. They will use the women and some of the men as servants, and the children they'll try to raise for their own, and the young girls they will use. This isn't a fun thing. So Israel knew very well what Assyria would do. And the fact that God, in just an instant, delivered them, showed Israel, this is who you serve. You need to repent. And you need to make sure you know that you're walking before me in a manner that you should. And verse 8, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he drinketh, and he waketh, and behold, he is faint. His soul has an appetite, so the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Now, he just told you that anybody that comes up against Israel, and this is Jerusalem and Zion, is going to meet with trouble. And of course, when we look, you know, in the New Testament, we get into Revelation and we see some of the end time battles. We also get into Zechariah, who talks about this. There is going to be a major battle over Israel, and it's going to look like Israel is losing. But in the final moment, they come back. And that coming back is how God works. And so, just like you go to sleep, and you go to sleep, and you dream that you're sitting at a vast table, and you're eating a T-bone steak, and maybe you like lobster, you got lobster over there, and there's deep-fried shrimp, and there's prime rib over there, and, I mean, you just got a feast, and you're just eating that, because you haven't had that kind of food. And so, when you wake up, you realize that you haven't eaten anything. But the dream was so real. Now, see, this experience is going to seem like that dream, except it's not a dream. Because, and this is where the twofer comes in. It's not a dream in that God really delivers them, but it is a dream because they actually, you know, it isn't a dream. It is a dream in the fact that they, you know, it's not real. Their life has been interrupted to the amount that it's just absolutely unbelievable. You can't believe what's happening. And yet, it'll seem like a dream because the threat is real. You're about ready to lose it, and you can see it, but yet the deliverance is so quick, so sudden. An angel of the Lord kills 185,000 of the enemy soldier right out. The gates. There's nobody there to kill him. And Sennacherib is gone with his aides. They've left. God spared them, and because he was going to get killed in the temple. See? And see, you may look at today's society and in America and think that you're living in a dream because you've never seen it this way before. See, when God begins to interfere, you know, prophetically, because he's doing something in the earth to wake man up, because where they're headed is not good. See, there was no hope for the city. There's nothing could stop them from destroying it. They go to bed at night thinking that is if they can sleep. Because it was well known with Israel. The one thing that they did, they threw parties on top of their roof, especially during Babylon's thing, and when Babylon had surrounded them. And they were having parties where they we're going to eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. They're going to be prepared to die the next day. But while they could, they were going to eat, drink, and be merry. Now, what they should have been doing is repenting before the Lord God. But you see, this is how, it's just like when the Titanic went down and you saw people playing the violins and they were drinking, standing on the ship as it goes down. Well, folks, that may sound romantic, but what God wants you to do is to repent. He wants you to seek Him so that when you die, or if you do die, you don't know, He could save you in that one instant. And then in the Titanic, the fall, especially if you see the movie, there were people that were saved. But there are also people that just said, well, we're going to stay here and play. And that made the movie, you know, because that was part of the draw. But yet, in real life, Israel at this time, the citizens, those who sleep, they went to bed knowing that tomorrow they would die. But when they woke up and they saw the tents there and they were still alive, they still didn't know what was going on. You have to read the story. It'll tell you in other places. Because nobody would go out of the gates of the city finally till a couple of them went out and they went in the tent and everybody was dead. There's nobody alive. So it was like a dream. You know, there's no way that could have happened. And see, that's the very thing that happens when you're dealing with the God of Israel. And now see, we know Him as our Father who art in heaven, who sent His only begotten Son. And see, it's not good for people to turn around and just think they can do anything they want to do. A lot of people stay in the New Testament. They never grow, you know. They're drinking milk their whole life. They never go beyond a certain portion of understanding. And this ain't good. You know, we've got entire generations here that have been on milk their entire life. And what we're giving you here is meat. This is how God works. Now you see, the children of Israel, and I can imagine waking up in the morning. You know, I mean, if you look at what's happening here in America, even during this election, this year has been one of just nothing but trouble. We're right now in the hurricane season. It's been one of the worst I've seen. We've got fires everywhere, and here in our state, we have one of the biggest fires going on I think we've seen in a long time, burning everything. And the thing of it is, we were up in that area earlier in the part of the year, and I was remarking to the family that all the trees, it looked like 50% of them were dead. And if a fire ever started, that whole thing would go. And, well, that's what's burning now. California. You know, I mean, it just, and that's not all that's happened. We've had COVID. And we continue to have all of this division and hatred, and we have people on lockdown and, you know, just no rights, and just you have people burning your inner cities, and you have people that are rioting and trying to push Marxism, and people are getting killed and murdered for no reason at all. See, this is the shaking of a nation. This is the awakening that God is doing to America. You're not going to rest on your laurel, America. You people are, I agreed and I honored the covenant of those that were on those shores. And I honored it even beyond what you could hope or think about. But it's coming to an end, America. You need to see what I see. You need to wake up. That's why God sent the prophets to Israel. They wouldn't listen. And even Jesus told him in his day when he was weeping over Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets. Israel didn't receive the prophets. They stoned them because they spoke the things they didn't want to hear. They told Jeremiah to go home and preach it to someone else. They didn't want to hear it. Speak to us of smooth things, of good things. We don't want to hear that God is going to judge us. We don't want to hear about Babylon destroying us. Leave us alone. Our own prophets tell us we're going to be fine. Jeremiah is another one. It's a lesson in understanding how God deals with a nation. You can say, well, they were a theocracy. Well, that has nothing to do with it, because as a nation, God destroyed the Gentile nations, the ones that didn't know him, more than he destroyed. See, he just sent both houses into judgment each. That was two times. But we know that God threw out all the nations that were in the promised land, which Israel took. That's more than two. He destroyed the world by the flood in Noah's day. He confused the languages at Babel. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He brought judgment to Babylon. And he told the Jews to flee the city and let Jerusalem come to mind. Now see, we live in a day and age where the new covenant is taken over, but we don't have a Babylon. We have a mystery Babylon that pours out a drink of deceit that people imbibe in. We live in a time of deception. And Paul warned about that in 2 Thessalonians 2. You are living in perilous times. Paul also warned of that. Make no mistake. God is not to be outdone, and he's not to be mocked. And he will hold you accountable. He hold the children of Israel accountable to everything. And they're still reminded of that today. They're still facing the consequences of what they did so long ago. And if Israel couldn't get away with it, if their prophets couldn't get away with it, if their priests couldn't get away with it, if God destroyed his own temple, if he destroyed his own prophets, his own chief and high priest, if he sent his own people into captivity, what do you think he's going to do to the church of God who has fallen away? Read the New Testament. It tells you judgment will first begin at the house of God. Then you go a little further. Then the end shall come. You think this is the end of the world? Then understand, the judgment will happen upon the house of God before it does happen on the rest of them. It's time to wake up and understand. When we go through Isaiah, when we go through the prophets, there's a reason we can get this, and we can take this and march it right into the New Testament. Because God is trying to tell you something here. Now, we've had three different groups of people, which fulfills the law. Let every word be established by two or three witnesses. And we've had Franklin Graham's prayer march. We've had Carter Conlon's repentance thing from Lot 1. This is where the Pilgrim's first house was built. And we've had Jonathan Cahn's The Return, repenting and using the biblical messianic mandate and blowing the shofar for repentance and a solemn assembly. And every one of them ask for the mercy of God amidst judgment. I pray that all the time, been praying mercy. God, in your judgment, remember mercy. I've been praying for people to stand up. This is the first time in over two decades that I can honestly say I've seen three witnesses according to the law, which shows us there are people standing up, calling for mercy, repenting openly. Now, I'm telling you, This is sign. We ain't home yet, but I'm telling you, you will know by this election. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be a piece of cake. That day and age is gone. But I pray, Father, grant us mercy. And you'd do well to pray for your family. And understand that when we go through this, this is for a reason. God loved these people. And he sent Sennacherib there to wake them up, to give them an example of what real, true judgment would be like. He's not playing around. Here's a God that can order the armies anywhere he wants to. He can change the earth. He can do what he wants to. He can create it. And you as a human being, as his creation, can do absolutely nothing to change it except repent, confess your sins, and ask for mercy and pray for mercy for the place where you live and your family. That will change the heart of God. But pride, you will die. I guarantee it. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, move in the hearts of those who have heard this tonight. Let them not be fearful, but let them feel your love and your mercy and understand the scope of what we're discussing tonight. Let them look around and see the nations of men. There are souls at stake all over this world. And I know you love each and every one of them. We do not hate the people, but the political systems of oppression we reject. The very political systems that are destroying lives and killing people and committing genocide. Father, we commit this into your hands. We ask your blessing. And in Jesus' name I ask this, and in Jesus' name I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word of God. Amen. To your glory, Father, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay, here I am. I was thinking about that verse 6 when you were talking about it, you know, how we have the fires on the west coast, the hurricanes down in the southern coast, and that great noise, you know, it says in verse 6, it talks about a great noise. I just say that could be COVID.
Yeah, it could. Well, you know, you can look right in it and see it if you're looking.
Yeah, you can see America, that verse. I can see America in it for sure.
And the one thing that reminds us is there's no let up, there's stress, and there's trouble.
Yeah, this one island in Louisiana, they've had to evacuate 4 times already this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no let up.
That's right.
It's sad. It's tragic, I think. We need to wake up and repent.
We do. And Tower and I got in on all 3 of those. We watched all 3 of them. And I was so overjoyed to see this going on.
The 3 repentance things.
Yeah, because it's not about numbers. It's about who's doing it and how they're doing it. And they were praying for the churches. You know, this has got to hit the churches and the people of God, friends. This is not about your denomination. It's not about whether you're a Baptist or a Pentecostal. This is whether you love the Lord or not, whether you know the Lord as your personal Savior, and are you walking in a manner that honors Him.
That's
understand,
right.
Folks, we need the Lord.
And we even need to, you know, there's division in this nation.
Yeah.
There's divisions in the denominations. We need to remove those divisions and
absolutely
come together as people of God.
That's right. Well, we're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Okay, well, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. We pray the best for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God richly bless you in all you do. Have a good night, and we will see you tomorrow. Thank you for joining us.
Good night, everybody. May God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. May He direct your steps, and may He keep you safe and your family. Shalom. Good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.